turn back in your Bibles to begin with this morning to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're taking, at least beginning, our thoughts on this great statement that the Lord has made, this great declaration that the Lord has made here in this second chapter, especially as it is in verse 14. Every word of God is pure, isn't it? It is great, it is mighty, and as J.T. has already said, it must and it will be fulfilled in its entirety. Not a thing will be left out. As I read the Lord's words there in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. In every jot and every tittle, he says, must be fulfilled. It'll never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. As I think of that, I think some people have taken it, well, the Lord fulfilled the law, and now it passed away.
Yeah, it's age of grace.
Now say, yes, age of grace. But guess what? The word of the Lord will never, ever be completely fulfilled throughout all eternity, because the word of the Lord is the Lord, and the Lord is the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is fulfilled in the sense that the fullness of the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the living Word. But it will never be fulfilled in the sense that now it's through, it's complete, it's all done away with. We don't need it anymore. But there are certain declarations of God that seem to touch our hearts from time to time. And this one, I trust, has touched my heart. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. What a great day that is and shall be. Now I say is because there is a sense in which the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, has gone all over this earth. In our day, there is scarcely a place upon the face of this earth, doesn't matter whether it is populated, civilized, as we would think, or whether it is in the darkest holes and crevices of the earth, the Word of God has gone there. There may be a few spots in the remotest corners of the earth that the gospel has not been preached as yet. In that sense, the word of the Lord has gone over all the earth. There is also a sense in which the knowledge of God has gone throughout the world, isn't it? As the apostle speaks in the 10th chapter of Romans, did they not know? Yes, they knew. The sound of them went throughout the earth. But there is a special sense, I believe, in these words that we read here, in which not only will the glory or the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth, but it will cover it as the waters cover the sea. There will be a time when the knowledge of the glory of God will be as it has never, ever been before. Now, having said that, as I said last week, the apostles and prophets, being inspired by the Holy Ghost, have spoken of and have described, defined the glory of God, and yet they have failed to fully describe and define the glory of God. The only way that the glory of God can truly be seen is by the Spirit of God Himself in the individual. My words cannot describe the glory of God. J.T. kind of alluded to that earlier today, and that is my feeling. I feel so inadequate in trying to describe and define, to tell of the glory of God. I feel inadequate, first of all, in my knowledge of it. And secondly, I feel inadequate because I feel so lacking in the understanding in my own self, in my own being, of the glory of God. I keep reaching and reaching and reaching for it, but it seems like I can't quite get to where I want to get. And I think that is typical of every child of God. And I think that's what the apostle meant when he said, "For we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Because that's ultimately where we're going. We are on the way. As I said last week, we are following that glory, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There is the ultimate glory of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we follow that glory upward and onward. As the writer of the Revelation said, we follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Pray this morning as we look at another aspect of the glory of God. I see three aspects here in this one verse. Last week we talked about, we attempted at least to some degree to describe the glory of God. What a task. The glory of God in this verse is described first, I believe, with two terms. One is filled. The other, he tries to describe it as the waters cover the sea. In its height, in its depth, in its breadth, in its width, in its density, the fullness then of the glory of God. It is filled, isn't it? And we used those terms last week in our description. We said that it covered, we said that it filled. And it does, doesn't it? It literally goes over, above, around, in between everything it fills. And this morning, we're going to look at how the glory of God is ascribed. And I believe that it is ascribed in these words, of the Lord. It's the glory of the Lord. It's not the glory of you or the glory of me or the glory of anything else. It is the glory of the Lord. Now, the third thing that we will look at, possibly and hopefully next Lord's Day, will be the application of it. So we're looking at these three things: described, ascribed, and applied. And I see this applied. It says it will fill the earth, for the earth shall be filled. It's a wonderful thing. You know, God made the earth, Isaiah said, to be inhabited. You know, this earth is not going away. They're afraid of, you know, that mankind is afraid of destroying the earth. Don't worry about it. Man cannot destroy the earth because God created it, and He created it to be inhabited. Man can mess up a lot of things like he did in the Garden of Eden. He's been doing it ever since. But guess what? God's plans and purposes have not been thwarted. He has created the earth to be inhabited, and it will be inhabited. We just sent off another rover, a Mars rover. They're determined that they're going to find life up there on Mars. Well, I've got news for them. They're looking in the wrong place. But these people, you see, do not believe. They have never seen the glory of the Lord. They can't understand how life can only exist on this little planet called Earth. But they just don't know the greatness of our God. They do not know the glory of our God. Well, we're going to have to hurry on, but the glory of God ascribed, to whom is it ascribed? It is ascribed to the Lord. Turn with me back over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I've said for a long time, you know, if you want to know where something begins, you have to go back to the beginning, right? Yeah. Well, the glory of God, actually, where does it begin?
Genesis 1.
What does it say, brother?
In the beginning, God created the
heaven and the earth. That was the beginning, at least, of the knowledge of His glory. That wasn't the beginning of His glory, but that was the beginning of the knowledge of His glory. The very fact that He created the heavens and the earth. But all right, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, "Give ear, verse 1, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Well, there's something significant here, isn't it? It's calling for the heavens and the earth that God has created to hear. Listen, here I'm going to say something. I'm going to make a declaration. I'm going to say something that is all important. He said, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." Have you ever noticed the rain, how it covers the earth? Boy, it was a beautiful sight yesterday. Did y'all get any rain over there your way, brother? Wasn't it a beautiful sight? It covered the earth. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." Some people say doctrine's not very important. Seems like here it is. "It will drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. Have you ever watched the dew? Have you ever noticed the dew? How it covers everything. It just literally covers everything. But it's so pleasant, isn't it? It's so wonderful. As the small rain upon the tender herb. It's just right. But it covers all. And as the showers upon the grass. Now, why is it, give ear, O ye heavens, and O earth, and hear the words of my mouth. The doctrine shall drop as the rain, speech distills the dew, and so forth. And it is because. Here's the reason. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about showing forth the glory of God. That's exactly what he's talking about. He is going to publish it. Now, when you publish something, what do? You make it known to everybody. It's not something that's hidden. It's not something that is relegated to darkness. It's wide open. In fact, it's as a banner that goes up or a flag that is flying. I think sometimes, and we get over into Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10, we see the cherubim up there. And sometimes I think just a teeny bit, have you ever seen one of these airplanes as the sky riders? Why do they do that? Because high and lifted up, and as it were, it fills the heaven. And every eye can see it. But how much more so when the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, and then he makes this statement, ascribe. Now that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about ascribing the glory to God. And this is what he says. He said, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Well, what is this greatness? Well, it's just another way of describing and ascribing the glory of God to God. But you notice he doesn't say, ascribe ye greatness to the God. Or he doesn't just say, ascribe ye greatness to God. But what does he say? He says, yeah, brother, to our God. You see, we as God's people are the only ones that can ascribe greatness to God. All the others, they don't see Him as great. Now one day, when the knowledge of His glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, when it fills the earth, they will acknowledge His glory. But will it be glorious to them? It will be glorious in its terribleness, but it will not be glorious in its beauty. They will never be able
to ascribe unto God greatness in that sense. Now, of course, when we think about the glory of God, we almost always have to go to the 19th Psalm, don't we? It's one of the Psalms that describes and ascribes the glory to God. Isn't that what it says? The heavens declare what? They declare the glory of God. Now, isn't that strange? Sinful man, left in his sin, cannot ascribe glory unto God, but the heavens do. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. What is the term handiwork? It's just another way of describing the glory of God. He continues, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth what? It showeth knowledge. Knowledge of what? It's the glory of God. Ascribe ye unto our God greatness. The heavens themselves do. You know, the psalmist in many places and other places in the Chronicles, it talks about how the hills skip. How the trees sing. It describes everything of the creation of God as giving glory unto God. I think about this when I think about Christ coming into Jerusalem, riding upon that colt of an ass. And those children going before Him. And what do they say? Hosanna unto God. Hosanna in the highest. And you know what the scribes and the Pharisees did? They tried to shut them up. They tried to shut them up. But you know what the Lord said? Yeah. If these should hold their peace, the very rocks will cry out. You know what? There must be glory in God. If it was so great that it will make the rocks cry out. No wonder then that Moses says, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. If the rocks are going to cry out, how much more should we as the people of God? We go on. Their line has gone out through all the earth. See? There is a sense in which the glory of God has covered the earth. It's gone out through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom. You see, in all of this, what is taking place? The prophets of God being inspired of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God is describing for us the glory of God. As a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, now, again, we've turned this around, and I wonder if we haven't done an injustice in doing this, but we have turned this around, you see, to where the glory of that wedding has been placed upon who? The bride. But God places it upon the bridegroom. Now, why is that? Because Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Ascribe ye greatness unto whom? Our God. Now, we're going to get into this afternoon, the Lord willing. But let me say it now. That glory, which is God's, is transformed, if you will, to or in the church as the body of the bridegroom. But that glory is not the church's. That glory is the Lord's. It is shed abroad upon us and in us and through us. But that glory is still the Lord's. As the righteousness of the church is the Lord's, so also the glory then is the Lord's, but as the body of Christ, it is ours also. But we can never forget. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. The bridegroom, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Well, we must go on. Turn with me back to Psalm chapter 8. In Psalm chapter 8, he begins by saying, O Lord, our Lord. How beautiful is that? How wonderful is that? How glorious is that? O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name? Isn't that what we read back over in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 3 there? I will publish the name of the Lord. I'll publish the name of our God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Where? In all the earth. In other words, there is no other name. Right? In all the earth, there is no other name. Now, this is spoken of over in Acts chapter 12, isn't it? For there is none other name given where? Among men under heaven, whereby what? You must be saved. What a wonderful thought. And it's one that you dare not miss, right? You see, that was the problem. As we said again last Sunday, for all have sinned and come short of what? The glory. That's really what sin is. Then it's coming short of the glory of God. How can you be saved then? The only way you can be saved is to see that glory. Because to see that glory in its beauty, not in its terribleness,
You see, the Israelites saw the glory of God in His terribleness on Mount Sinai. But it didn't save them, did it? But to see the glory of God in its beauty. If we can, and when we can ascribe in our hearts greatness to our God, that means you've been saved. Because you're no longer coming short of the glory of God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Now, we're going to get over into Ezekiel chapter 1 in a few moments, the Lord willing. But when we get there, we're going to see something there. We're going to see the likeness of the throne of God above what? Above the firmament. And that's essentially what he's saying here, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Now, as we go over to Psalm 19 again, the heavens declare His glory, right? But His glory actually is above the heavens. His glory is greater than the heavens. We're talking about God, our God. You understand again why I feel so inadequate. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the one that the apostle said dwells in the light that no man can approach unto. Sometimes it makes me fearful just to say the name God. And yet, so often, I find myself at least coming so close to saying the name of God, taking the name of God in vain. How can I do that? If His glory is so great, and it is, how can I take the name of God lightly? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name. Excellent. Think of that word. Think of that term. Do you sense the struggle even in the words of the prophets to speak about the fullness of the glory of our God? How many terms are used just trying to get across? But aren't you thankful that the Spirit of the Lord comes and He shows to you something of the glory of God? And especially that glory, once again, that is in the death, burial, and resurrection
of Jesus. Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? And then He says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Amazing, isn't it? You see, the glory of God in His strength is opposed to, or I guess you could say it's compared to, it's hardly a comparison. But you see, again, that glory is not ours. We have no right to that glory. You see, the glory of God is revealed in His church in weakness, or through weakness. That's what gives me hope and confidence. When I can't speak as I want to speak. When I can't say what I want to say, how I want to say it, and when I want to say it. Because I know that the power of God is made perfect in weakness. The glory of God is manifest in or through my weakness. In the mouth of babes and sucklings. Now this is, of course, referred to twice, at least twice, in the New Testament, in Matthew 21 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, was alluded to in what? What does it say? Oh, but God hath chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. This is the glory of God. You understand? This is the glory of God. It is to His glory that He has chosen these things. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. But you see, that's what the creation was all about. Right? For by faith we believe that those things which are seen was made of what? Things which do not appear. And, you know, it's not the things that are seen that are glorious, but what? It's the things that are not seen, which are glorious. The Apostle Paul makes that clear in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians again. He says, for verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us what? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are, they're just temporary, aren't they? But the things which are not seen are eternal. See, that is the glory of God. Can you imagine the glory of God in this? As Isaiah describes it, he said he meted out heaven with a span. What a wonderful thought. The magnificent. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. When I consider thy heavens, here we go again. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Here's that contrast again, you see. Is this a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. But you know what? God considered us as men when He sent His only begotten Son in the flesh. He visited us. Who is he? What is he called? Emmanuel. God with us. Oh, what a great thought. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the flesh, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, Lord, how excellent is thy name in where? In all the earth. What glory there is. Psalm chapter 29. Give ear, or knowing, I'm sorry. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, when it says give unto the Lord, he's not talking about giving Him glory as if he had none. But it's talking about the same thing when we would say ascribe. Ascribe unto the Lord. Who? O ye mighty. What does the Bible say? Though hand join in hand, they shall not go unpunished. What is he referring to? What's he alluding to here? He's talking about though all the world come together as they are trying and attempting to do, and as they think that they shall accomplish, as all the world comes together and they're all agreed in everything, which they never will be in that, will they? But they are agreed in one thing. They hate God. And they are agreed that they are going to cast Him down from what? From His excellency. They're not saying, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. They only consult together to cast him down from his excellency. Forgive unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto our God greatness. Give unto the Lord the glory that is what? What's the next word? Do unto Him. That's what we're trying to do this morning. In some ways, we're trying to give unto Him the glory that's due unto Him. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me day after day to give unto Thee glory that is due unto Thee. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. I will publish the name of the Lord. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. When it says that He thundereth, why didn't it just say, well, the Lord spake? Some places it does, doesn't it? The Lord spake. The voice of the Lord was heard. I heard the Lord speak. It speaks in those terms. But yet, there are many places in the Scripture where it talks about the Lord thundering. It's all about ascribing unto God greatness. It's all about the knowledge of the glory of God. Why? Why use the term thunder? Whenever you hear a loud clap of thunder, how many of you ignore it? You can you? Folks, when the glory of the Lord appears, you cannot ignore it. It is His glory. It is a majestic glory. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, you see, we're not just talking about words. We're talking about worship. Are we able this morning to worship God in the glory that is due unto His name? Not but one way you can do it, and that's in the Spirit. For the Lord seeketh them, the Father seeketh them to worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. So there's two things there. You can't worship the Lord outside of the Spirit, but guess what? You can't worship Him outside of the truth either. That does away with most so-called worship today. They have neither one. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, but verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Let there be light. And it just started dimly coming through, right? filled the earth. And not only the earth, but it filled the heavens. There was light everywhere. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Do you understand what's going on here? Are you getting this? All of these words, all these terms, and they're all about ascribing unto God, unto our God, greatness. They're all about the glory, ascribing unto God His glory. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. He divided the flames of fire. You know what I think about when I think about Him dividing the flames of fire? I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace. Do you think that was a glorious sight? I do. I would love to have seen that. Old Nebuchadnezzar thought something of it, didn't he? And he looked at that sight and he said, "Didn't you cast three in there? But I see four." You know what he saw in there? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the glory of God walking around in that furnace. What a thought that is. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord," this is verse 1, "that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And here's what he said. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." And now look what he said. "When thou walkest through" what? "The fire." Then what's going to happen? Or what's not going to happen? "Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You see, the voice of the Lord divided even the flames of fire. Now, folks, there's not much that's more powerful and awesome than fire. How many of you were amazed when these few acres up here were burned? How many of you were more amazed when they were describing what was going over around Bass Pro? How many of you are amazed when you see a huge flame of fire? It strikes awe into you. But the voice of the Lord divideth the fire. But what about the waters? Does it divide the waters? How did the children of Israel get through the Red Sea? How did they get through the flooded Jordan? God divided the waters. But what are we talking about? Every time we talk about the wonderful works of God, we're talking about ascribing glory unto the Lord. Every time we can talk about the wonderful works of God, we're speaking by knowledge of the glory of God. You know what? I like to talk about the glory of God. I like to talk about the wonderful works of God. But folks, let me tell you now, we can't leave that glory with God. That glory does have to permeate the church. Well, we ought to have a lot more time on this subject, but we'll hurry on. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in his temple. Okay, here's you and me. And in his temple, what happens? Every one. What do? Speak of his glory. What are we doing? We are ascribing unto him the glory that is due unto his name. I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto the Lord our God. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Now, again, we know that. Do we? Do we know that? But the world doesn't. But when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, you know what's going to what is happening then? The same thing that the apostle speaks of to Timothy when he said, "He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So here we are. Now, again, we've only gotten to, four scriptures. And we haven't even begun. I didn't get to Ezekiel, did I? Well, we did a little bit. But are you seeing? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Ascribe. That's what you're saying for. You're not saved because God wanted to do something good for you. God does good things to everybody. Right? He openeth His hand and does what? Satisfies the desire of every living soul. He is the Savior of all men, but especially of them that believe. We are saved that we might give glory unto God. Paul said he had nothing within himself to boast, but he said, if I would boast, what would it be in? The cross of Christ. That's salvation, folks. Lord, save me! Well, save you from what? But more importantly, save you to what? Ascribe unto the Lord our God greatness. Show forth His glory. Someday, the knowledge of God, someday the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. That's how full it's going to be. But dear folks, I want the fullness of the glory of God to be over me, to cover me right now, as the waters cover the sea. I want to be filled. The earth is going to be filled, but I want myself, and I want you, to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I don't know exactly where we will go this afternoon or where we'll begin, I guess I should say. But you pray. I'm trying. I hope that the Lord is revealing a little more unto us of what His glory is all about and what He means when He says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I don't think you can get any fuller than that. I believe that's the reason He uses that analogy. I don't think you can get any fuller than that. When the glass is full, can you get it any fuller? But it can run over, can't it? I want mine running over.